Okay, good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Thanks for coming to this prophetic seminar. We are trying to encourage the prophetic, both in the church context, but also in our everyday lives. And this is the time to leave, if that's not the session you thought you were in. But otherwise, you're here to stay, okay? So my name's Russ. I'm actually based here in Citygate. Lead the church in Bournemouth, and they're going to be working with Mark and some of his friends, and anyone actually this day.
Yes, anyone,
anyone who is hearing from God today for us. So, just want to give a bit of an overview. We're on a journey in this, and so we're still trying to work some of this stuff out. But want to help us with just how to kind of produce a prophetic kind of culture within your community. And I will mainly kind of talk about the church context. I think if we can get it developed there, then it's a lot easier to take it out. And but as we go on, we'll have some hints and tips on that as well, I'm sure. So here's a slide, okay? Any guesses of what these two might represent? How about the one on the left here, my left, your right? Any ideas what he might be? Or
Buddha.
What?
Buddha.
Buddha? Yeah, interesting. Multiple arms. He's your typical commission leader, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe not so typical, depending on your commission leader.
Why have you got a suit on?
Yeah, exactly. He's from a brethren background. But anyway. But he's got a lot to do. He's, you know, he's trying to juggle some plates that a couple of them are beginning to smash. He's got a watch in his hand. He's got an hour and a half on a Sunday morning to fit in everybody's preference. And what about the person here on your left? Any ideas of who this might be?
Somebody that comes to church to enjoy.
This is definitely someone who comes to the church. Yeah, this is a representative, believe it or not, of the prophetic gift. There you go. There's no stereotypes happening in here whatsoever. Here's the thing, right? These two, if they work together well, can bring tremendous blessing for the church and the community. But if they clash, and if there isn't a relational bond and glue, it can be very different, right? It can be very different. So I want to try and help us to understand. We have some leaders in the room. Who's leading a church right now or part of a team? Great. And I would imagine we'd have some people who love the prophetic or want to grow in the prophetic gift in the room. Who are those? And maybe you're a leader who want to grow in the prophetic as well. And then you're just like, imagine them two together. Let's just have a look at the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, probably our key text for this. I'm not going to read all of it, but let's just remind ourselves. This is our foundation for the gifts of the Spirit, for how they work out in our worship context. So let's read this together. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction. A revelation, that's the prophetic gift, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. A little bit later on, a couple of verses later, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. That's the aim. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. And then God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in the congregations of the Lord's people. And then there's one other verse, verse 39, I think, that says, therefore, be eager to prophesy.
Yes. Yes.
We want to explore all the gifts, but we want to be eager to prophesy.
Yes,
and then that last kind of comment is, but do this in an orderly and a fitting way. Just reminds us again of how this is best done. So, a couple of principles. Contributions are good, right? Contributions are biblical. These are spiritual gift contributions. And we want them, don't we, in our meetings as we gather together. And I don't know where you are in your local context or what that looks like or means, but I want to encourage you that they are still for today and they are still things that build us and encourage us and should therefore be demonstrated and practiced and worked out in our local communities. Like I said, we love the prophetic, but this is about cultivating gifts right across the board, and but particularly the prophetic. And I love the prophetic, but only if it pulls us into a deeper sense of encounter with God. And you and I will both know that we can prophesy ourselves into the anointing, but sometimes we can prophesy ourselves out of the anointing. And the difference of those two things is often about how the gift is handled and how it is managed. I want to try and help you a little bit with that. So here we go. Are you a railway track church, or are you a river church? Railway track, pre-planned, got a destination, pretty prescriptive. You can almost set your watch by where you're going to get to at what time. Stations, people get in, on and off, or in City Gate, they go out for a cigarette, but that's another story. This is the railway type of community as they gather together. Or are you a river church? I want to encourage you to be a river church. It still has a destination. It still has a direction of travel, but it ebbs and it flows and it rushes and it lows as the Holy Spirit leads it. It's a dynamic direction that God wants for our communities as we gather together. Another principle, just defining the prophetic gift, we've just found is really helpful. What it is and what it isn't. All right, it's not the word of God. It's the word of God, and there's a word from God. All right, so there's a that's different, but it's still important. But if we get those two things confused, it can lead to trouble, right? You can overemphasize the gift, or you can underemphasize the gift. I think it's Graham Cook who said misuse or abuse of prophecy is not a reason to stop using it altogether. It's a reason to get proper use back into play. And I really like that. So what is prophecy for us? It's a revelatory gift. You're hearing from God. You're speaking something out. You're hearing and you're speaking. Sam Storm says this, the speaking forth in merely human words, something the Holy Spirit has sovereignly and spontaneously revealed to a believer. There's that element that this is for now, as it were, and it's revealed from God, and it's therefore something that is more than just an encouragement. Now, I love encouragements, and they can be prophetic, but if we only start at this shallow end of the kind of swimming pool, we never get to the more revelatory gift, which I think is a continuum which you and I may still be on as we're developing our prophetic gift. But the sense that we need to weigh these things, weigh these words, means that there's something significant, therefore, that is part of the prophetic gift, right? And that's something just to gauge whether this is a prophetic word or whether it is what we love too, which is a general word of encouragement. And those things are great. And we want those too, but we want to go beyond those. The other thing to do is to differentiate the gift from the calling. So the gift is the gift of prophecy. There is a calling, which is the prophet. That's what John's been talking about, the Ephesians 4 listing of gifts that God gave to men. So all can prophesy, but some will be kind of come the office or behold the office of prophet. So we've got to be just a little bit careful not to confuse the activity, i.e. what you do, with the person is who you are. And I think it's helpful to get this right. And we can have a, it's interesting, I think, in terms of, well, therefore, what is a prophet? And though we might be able to think of evangelists in our network of churches, our family, we might be able to think of teachers. I wonder who the prophets are. And it's a provocation for us as a family of churches, but it's something for us to reach for as we go. And it's something that I want to reach for, and we can reach there together. Just very quickly, just to help you, I'm dumping a load of stuff, like I said. Capability. Someone who has got a proven record of the gift, that it has significant effect and brings something of the presence of God and a future kind of hope and direction, this encouragement and edification. It's got to do that, right, as they operate in the gift. Just calling. I mean, these are the same for any of those Ephesians 4 gifts in many ways. Something of a moment where you feel that this is your thing. It's your gift that God's given you that you can use to build the church. A call, perhaps, they can trace and remember. It doesn't have to be huge, but I think it's helpful. These last two, I think, are really important. Connected. Connected to the local body, but also connected to leadership. And probably submitted within that, which we'll come to a little bit later. Too many lone rangers, lone prophets, who are less connected than they should be. And then just commissioned. A sense that this is not just self-recognized, it's recognized by others. There's an anointing on them that's been recognized, and therefore they've been given an assignment, if you like, to work this out for their own benefit and for the benefit of the church. So, a couple of things to grow. First one's the gift. I think growing the prophetic gift and therefore the person who holds that gift is crucial to be able to develop a culture of prophecy in your community. I love these kind of four aspects of the gift. So revelation, you're hearing something. You've been in God's presence. You've heard from him. You might have seen it in a vision. There's all sorts of ways that we can hear God, aren't there? Through the scriptures, through a sense that God's given you, through a picture, however that may look for you. But something is coming to you from God, all right? This kind of, you've got to have that first. Second one, interpretation. We can interpret in part. We prophesy in part, we know in part. And I think that's really important, that we don't always get this absolutely bang on. And so we want to talk to God about what this means and what it actually is there for. And some little things we can ask, well, some really helpful ones. Is it in line with Scripture? Does it encourage? Is it going to edify the community? Challenges can also bring edification, if you know what I mean. All right? They come in a different form, but they ultimately bring a sense of purpose to the church. Does it glorify Jesus? Great question to ask at this moment. Application. Does it add? I think this is really important. Something about that river, it's going in the same direction. And something that we read in the scriptures about, you know, two or three prophets can prophesy. Mm-hmm. I think there's a sense of, we're all going in the same direction. If they're completely different things that are being prophesied, then I wonder if in the kind of act of weighing these things, we've got the thread of what God actually wanted to do in that moment. Because they'll take you in three different places, potentially. And so it's adding to the kind of feel that's already in the room. And prophets are feelers. And so very often you'll feel what's going on in the room. And that's right, but we don't just want to prophesy what's already happening, do we? Because that's already happening. I had an example just the other night. We were in a worship context, and it was a great time together. We were encountering Jesus. One of those moments where every word just seemed to add another layer to the word before, and it just took us deeper into God's presence. It was a wonderful time, but it started with a guy who just came to share something, and I really appreciate that. And he just said, I feel like people are now ready to meet with the Holy Spirit. And I just said, that's really good. And I looked around and I said, just look around. I said, do you think people are already meeting with the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes. And I said, well, let's just let God carry on doing what he is doing. We don't need to break this up right now with a contribution. And I just explained that to him. And it's really helpful, I think, as we help each other grow in these gifts, that we can do things like that and still be friends and love one another, because the ultimate goal is to encounter him, right? Does it add, when, who's it for? Me, you particularly, this group of people, the church, or is it a word for the nations? I haven't had one of those yet. I'm waiting. How are you going to share it? What's the nugget? These things are so helpful to help people with this gift develop into greater gifts and greater blessing. Often it should have a response. I think Ben did brilliant yesterday evening. There was a couple of words that came and he just held them. We heard them and he held them. And then we responded. He brought them back at the end, brought Guy's message into it as well. And together we responded in the moment, remembering what God had already kind of said or spoken. I thought that was really, really helpful. Proclamation. How do you bring this? Ultimately, you deliver it just with as much clarity as you can, with as much as what God said and less of what you might be thinking, so that we get the God nugget, which is the most important thing. And that charisma is not just a song and dance type of charisma. It's just full of the Spirit. You know, bring something of his heart to the people. The other thing to grow, inevitably, is the giver. It's great to grow the gift, but because this gift is given by God's grace indiscriminately, sometimes the gift can be greater, if you like, than our ability to carry it. And therefore, we have to help people to carry the gift. And just this whole thing, the 1 Corinthians 13, the whole passage of love, motivated by love, serving out of a humility and a sense of submission, both to those around you and to whoever's hosting the meeting, perhaps, or leadership, whatever that looks like for you. So, lastly, like I said, this is a proper dump, all right? There'll be loads of stuff. Hope one or two things will be helpful. Things to cultivate together. John touched on this sense of plural prophets, or people with a prophetic ministry, like gathering together. And I think this is so important, that you have partnerships with others who are also developing in this gift. It's a sense that we can learn from one another. We can just be together. I mean, we've gathered our people who have, we've got two types now. We've got like a developing the prophetic gift, and then some that are a little bit more established. And I've got a lady called Bernie Pickering, some of you will know, who's just brilliant kind of catalyst for drawing like people together and the gift that she sees in them and kind of just fanning it into a flame. And part of that is by gathering them and gives them a safe place, gives them an opportunity to use their gift and grow together. And I think it's so important. And I would encourage you to kind of think about perhaps doing something like that if you haven't done before. Everyone needs a Bernie Pickering in their church, I would say. And then plenty of opportunities, really. And not just big opportunities like Sundays, but small opportunities too. So that group for us becomes like a small opportunity We've, as a kind of leadership team, we've invited people with prophetic gift to come in and kind of speak over us, particularly when we're thinking about the next season. Like before a year, we might ask people to come in. It's these contexts that can knit leadership and the gift together for a stronger relationship, which ultimately brings a real sense of we're building this together. And I want those gifts in that room, because if God's speaking, then I want to hear it. And those people are listening for us, and we've given them that encouragement and opportunity to do so. Plenty of opportunities, safe places where you can actually fail as well as grow and improve. And everybody's in the same boat. It's really helpful. And I love those times together. We've had some great kind of opportunities and moments of meeting with Jesus. This whole sense of a prophetic conversation, perhaps before you, it's like sharing it with the person who's hosting the meeting. It gives you a chance to chat this through with someone else. And we haven't got to this point yet, but I'd love to kind of help people to do that in our gatherings. Like that they're almost seeing what's God saying. Like, what else have you got? What are you carrying? What are you sensing, feeling? And then there's often this kind of common ground, isn't there, that you can then bring to everyone. And I love the thought of that. We haven't got there. But the goal here, I love this, is that it's not that I get heard, potentially. It's that he gets heard. And so, you know, it doesn't almost matter who's sharing this, but it's the sense of the God thing in that moment. And that's something for us to reach for, but I really like the idea and the thought of that. And I thought it might just stir your imagination to keep going in this kind of thing, because I think it can make significant difference. And then this one, finally, releasing leadership that creates space for a prophetic culture to develop, that kind of identifies and honors the gift and encourages it and releases it, as it were, in specific contexts. This is crucial if we want to see this across our communities. And if we want to press into this in a greater way, it's leaders who may not necessarily be prophetic, but I want to encourage you, if you're a leader here, like just endeavor to find others who are and release them, give them opportunity, meet with them, talk with them, ask them what they're seeing, what are you hearing? And it will strengthen you, it will strengthen the church, it will bring great fruit. And all in an atmosphere of just love, kind of accountability, and that kind of authenticity where we're kind of growing in this together. And I believe genuinely that God wants to reveal more of his heart in our moments where we meet together, so that multiple people can encounter God. Yes, that passage, isn't it? Same one, 1 Corinthians 14, where if everyone is prophesying, I don't even know what that looks like, really. But at least if some are prophesying, then the secrets of hearts will be revealed. And people will fall down. How did you know this? And glorify God. And I'm looking for that. I hope you are too. So here's what I saw in the spirit. Never done this before. It's kind of a prophetic picture for you in the room. And I believe God wants to just, even in these moments, just minister to us. And this is what I saw. I believe God wants to open the cage. I don't know whether you feel like a caged bird, whether you feel like you've had your wings clipped, or whether you feel like you're soaring on the thermals of God's Spirit. Like, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're a leader who has the door open for the gifts of the Spirit, and particularly for the prophetic. But I want to just ask the Spirit to work in your heart right now, that we would be those that open the cage and we let the gift fly. And we let people fly into their gifting. And there's a sense that what's been done in the black and white will bring color into the lives of those we're speaking to, but also into the lives of those who are flying high in their gift, fulfilling, if you like, the one thing that God has put into their hearts, the gift of prophecy. So if you just want to respond to this right now, why don't you stand? And we'll just wait on God and we'll see what he will do. Jesus, come. Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
It feels though God's wanting to break disappointment and maybe frustration in people's lives who have aimed to move in this gift in the past. I feel as though it's a little bit like we were hearing this morning about, I think it was Mark who was saying, about unblocking the wells.
Yep.
Taking away, giving back to God the frustration, forgiving those people, letting things go, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move again, refresh others through us. And he's got such a lot to do. Powerful things to do through each person.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. Very good. Very good.
I just felt looking at that picture, wouldn't it be foolish trying to get back into that cave when actually you can fly?
Yeah.
In exactly the same way. Wouldn't it have been foolish for Lazarus to try and get back into the tomb when he was set free? Because he was alive. I just sense the foolishness of it. If God's calling us to fly, why try and get back into the cage? Yes.
This is a strange one. I had a picture of cattle that had been cooped up through the winter into the sheds. But when they open the gate, they jump. They run into the field. And I feel that some people may feel that they've been shut away. They haven't been allowed to come out of the barn. And Jesus is opening the gate. He said, go on, enjoy. It's a privilege.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Jump with joy.
Yeah.
Get out into that field. Help yourself. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Just feel the Lord wants to wants to take the pressure off a little bit. I just see a picture of the book. It's a child's coloring book. And the Lord's prophet is to put the dots, but not to join the dots, but to colour in. And it's like sometimes the prophet, you think, wow, I'm going to bring this word, and this is what it means, and this is what you've got to do, and you've got to join this dot, and you've got to colour that red, and that blue, and that yellow, and that's the picture. And the calling of a prophet is to say what you see, to bring what the Lord has given you.
Yes.
So you're there, you're to put the dots out there, but it's for others to join the dots. You're to kind of create the image, but others, well, they need to colour that image in. They need to take that on. So I think the Lord just wants to say, no, I want to take the pressure off some of you. You just play your part. Just do your bit. Just say what you see.
Yeah.
Put the dots out there.
Yeah.
Just the burden that God has given you, the scripture, the image, the sense. Just say what you see. Just do it. The joining of the dots, the colouring in, all that happens next, that's up to the Lord, and as you bring it, and the people that hear, and all that God's plans and purposes are wrapped up in. So I want to take the pressure off. I want you to enjoy prophecy. I want you to say, hey, let me just say what I see. Let me just bring the encouragement of God's word, the encouragement of the prophetic gift. So say what you see is what I always remember. It's from catchphrase.
Yeah.
Thing. Say what you see.
Good.
So as prophets, and that's what we're called to do.
That's
you're just
good.
Bring
yes.
and others.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Interpretation. Very good.
Mm-hmm. So let's just pause again. Stay in the spirit. In terms of the words that have come, let's do what we've learnt about in that sense. Let's just allow God to minister.
I had a picture of a mother eagle just standing outside the nest with the eaglets still in the nest. And she was saying to them, come on, you've got to go and stand on the rock and fly. Eagles were meant to fly. And so she gets standing on the rock and just giving them a little nudge and saying, come on, you're going to fly and get the salmon in the river, not the tidbits anymore. And I just thought God was saying that some people are just a bit scared and standing on the rock and not wanting to fly with the spirit, and that he's got so much for us, so much more.
Yeah.
I just had a sense that Jesus just in front of me, sort of turning around and going, come with me, a bit, a sense of invitation, a sense of excitement that he wants us to go with him, and there's a safety and security there. It's going with our friend, our Lord, and the Lord. He wants to take us somewhere. He wants us to go on a journey with him. And we should be encouraged. Let's go. You know, it's like an eagle, which is why it's so good. Jesus wants to know today to take us with
him. Amen.
Coming on from the word on eagles, that's what I saw. I saw an eagle and it was soaring, and that was the word that came. It was soaring high on the thermals. And I just sensed like the leader's responsibility really to release this gift and it will soar.
Yeah. Do you want to pause it? We've had two or three.
Yeah, from that, I saw a picture as well, but this is a picture of an eagle. been waiting, going through the waiting season, but God is saying that season is over. So spread your wings and fly. Just enjoy flying. So just fly, lifting, and spread your wings.
So three or four prophecies, maybe five or eight. And then let's just rest again in God's presence. He's here. I believe he's ministering to some of you. Let's not right now be listening, as it were, apart from what he has for you, rather than what he might have, because you've got gift, for others. Okay, what's he doing for you in this moment? So let's just get back to that kind of moment in God. I'm just going to lead us. Some of you just going to speak some of the frustration and the disappointment you've had in this area. Just back to God now. Just tell him. I believe he's going to bring a hope again for you, for what he's given you to carry. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus.
Can I just bring...
Hang on. We're in a moment.
Through art. The first got saved. God gave me a picture of a wall with all these scrolls on it. He said, this is what I'm going to give you. I've never finished seeing that wall. But I feel like I'm a champagne bottle. That when someone opens the cork, they do it very, very carefully. Because they're frightened about the bubbles. So they hold it, pop. Nothing comes out. And I feel that God needs to come and just drop the top off so that it explodes. You know, I think that's what happens with the prophetic. Sometimes we are kept back. Sometimes we are stifled. Sometimes we are. Someone's worried about what we're going to bring. They've got their track. But God's got another track. And God wants it. And he will explode it. And I feel that we are coming to a time now that explosion is coming. Russ, what you've been saying today is so, so relevant in the church. Not only this church, but all churches. There have been some leaders in the past who, this is my church, I want to go that way. I'll hold that prophet back. But in the end, God has his way. And sometimes it's so frustrating to be a prophet. It's so frustrating for God to start talking to you. You're not listened to. It's great. It's great in some respects.
just for others of you, just as we've heard those words, and you can see the door of the cage open, but you just haven't managed to take that first step. And I just, even right now, I just believe God's just given you faith and courage and a sense of security in Him. To all you have to do actually is say what you have seen to someone who is in leadership or even just a friend. But I believe it's going to be the breakthrough for you in your kind of development of this gift. And so again, if that's you, just be with Jesus right now. He's here, isn't he? He's ministering to us. And then just for those of you who might have responsibility for whether it's for a meeting like hosts, whether you are an elder or a church leader, you have a leadership responsibility. I want to just encourage you to look for gift in others. I believe God's going to give you fresh eyes to be able to identify gift and to be able to actually call it out and to ultimately see those gifts bearing fruit and soaring in your context and in where you are. Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us faith to build a bridge with that person or that group. Yes. They might be different to us. But we know we're better together. We're more beautiful. We're more like you as we reflect the gifts that you've given us. And so I pray for congregations, for moments of encounter. Yes, for us, but also for those who don't know you yet. Yeah. Lord, that our words, our times with you in the quiet place would bring that kind of fruit into people's lives. That you would be glorified, God. The church encouraged. And the world reached. In Jesus' name, we ask it.
To introduce you to a few people, and as I do so, some of you are going to have a prophetic word for them. So for those of you who are visiting us from overseas, we want to bless you now. We're just so happy that you're here. So I'll introduce them. Well, can you stand and come out here with me? I'll let you introduce yourselves and where you're from.
So I'm Ed, I'm from Madrid, where we have two congregations, where Ness and Kevin planted a church in Madrid and adopted our congregation, which is in the outskirts of Madrid. So I'm Ed.
I'm Tanya.
And I'm leading with Tanya, the congregation in the outskirts of Labro.
I'm Esther, I'm Eduardo's mom. When I was praying for Tanya, even before she was conceived. And when Eduardo told me, I like Tanya, I said, that's the one. I knew that was the face. So
Yeah, very blessed.
Good. Thank you. You can sit down now. We're going to pray for you in a moment. And Steve, could you stand up and introduce yourself? He's not from another nation, but he's...
Well, I'm from up north, you know. So. But I've been down in the premise land for a long time.
So just say a bit about yourself so we can pray.
From Newbury, so I lead a church called Glendale Church in Newbury.
Great.
And we love these guys.
Good. Thank you. Who else is here from another nation? Could you come out here with me? Sorry to embarrass you. Anybody else from another nation? You've come a long way, so we want to make sure you get God. We really do.
I am from Portugal. My name is Ruth.
From Portugal, okay. So we're going to pray for you in just a moment as well. Some of you are going to hear from God for Ruth. Thank you. Just stay there a moment.
So I am Andres from Latvia, from Church Prieka West. It's about 700 people, and I work with teenagers.
Great. Andres from Latvia. We're so happy that you're here, from Portugal and Spain and Latvia. Anybody else from another nation? No? Okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do, so if Spain could just kind of come over here, and if Latvia can go by the piano, if that's okay. And Ruth, could you come over here with me? Is that all right? And you just kind of stand here just for a moment. That would be great. I'm just going to give you a moment. Because in just a second, I'm going to ask you to pray. Come and pray for these folks. And there's another context I'd like you to pray for and speak into. I'd like to pray for Caversham this morning. So David, could you come and go and stand over there with Keith and Vanolia? So Keith and Vanolia and David are from Caversham. I'm not going to tell you any more than that, other than I want some of you to go and pray with them. This is what we're going to do now. We're going to fan it into flame, aren't we? We're going to fan it into flame. So just before we do that, I have a resident prophet, Rion. If you could come here with me. So Rion is, when I travel, I take Rion with me. Is there anything you're feeling in the room?
I think just for me this morning when I was just praying for today, I saw a golden ring, and it lines up with a lot of words that was already shared today. And when I asked the Lord, what does this ring mean? I felt like the Lord says two things, approval and commitment. And I feel like so many people are holding back and waiting for God's approval, and God says, you have my approval, go and build the church. Mm-hmm. You have my approval, go and share your faith. You have my approval, go and change the world. And then the word commitment for me was that the Lord, heaven is saying to us, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to be with you. I'm committed to stand with you. I'm committed to carry you. And do not lose heart, because I'm with you forever.
Lovely. Great. Thank you. You can sit down. Is there anybody else here who's not in a commission church? Great. Could you come up here? We want to bless you a lot. So some of you are going to pray for Steve in just a minute. And that, can you just tell us about who you are and your church?
My name's Jo, and I'm from Dawlish in Devon. And it's a brethren background.
Jo from Dawlish in Devon, you've come a long way. Great. Is it all right if you just stay there just a minute?
Sure.
Is there anybody else? Great, can you come here as well? So can you move over a bit further? Is that okay? Come over here with me. We want to pray for you and bless you. There's four of you.
Yeah.
So tell us who you are and where you're from. Ah, yes.
Go, John.
We're from ICC. We're from Weybridge, which is just near Woking.
Great.
But originally all South African.
Yeah, all from South Africa. And Cape Town.
Yes. Yeah.
Lovely. We're so happy that you're here. So this is where the river will get a bit untidy, and it'll meander, and it'll overflow, and I'm not quite sure where it will end, but I know that you're here because you want more of the Holy Spirit. And so what I'm going to ask you to do now is, because some of you will have felt something for these people. Steve, can I ask you to go and stand by the kind of exit door over there? So I want some of you to... You will just feel something for somebody in the room now. And even if you don't, I want you to go and stand with some of our friends here and begin to pray for them. And you know what's going to happen. As you begin to pray and open up yourself to the Holy Spirit, God's going to begin speaking to you, isn't he, and prophesying. You might incidentally be feeling something for somebody else in the room, somebody near you as we begin to move around. Then that's really, really fine. Just be really open to the Holy Spirit now and do whatever he says. Do whatever the Holy Spirit says now. And then if we've got time, there's one more exercise before we go. Okay? Go.
Out of our window, so I need to come and pray for you.
And then I'd like you to finish by singing a prophetic song over us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Say that again.
What is that thing that you use to cut the weed with when all of us is ready and it's got that?
A scythe.
No pressure.
No?
No pressure.
No, something's coming.
I just think God's going to give you a beautiful song over us to bless us before we go. Yeah. A couple more minutes praying and prophesying over these lovely ones. Couple more minutes. Whatever this next step is. Palumi. Sorry, it's some. The couple who lead the church in Madrid, Tania and.
I think Eddie or Eduardo or something.
Eduardo.
I think it's Ed.
Ed. Can I call him Ed? Is that all right?
Let me see if I can do a quick.
Oh, thank you.
Switch around.
Thank you. Thank you. Just one more minute, praying and prophesying over them. Are you going to prophesy over them in Afrikaans?
You didn't even get a chance to prophesy. If you prophesied hours, that's enough. I would like to go after that date, if I can.
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
The Lord's given me a word with that date.
Okay.
If it works, it works and doesn't.
Okay, right. Okay. Okay. So if you could be drawing your praying and prophesying to a close. I'm sorry, that's really hard for prophets. What's it saying?
Eduardo.
Thank you. If you could bring it into land, please, and then come and find your seats again. Just one more thing to do before we go. John, could you come out here with me, please? Well done. Well done. Well done for being here. Well done for the risks that you take. Well done, even when you're misunderstood. Well done, even when people don't quite understand what you're about or what you're trying to do. We really need you. We really need you in our churches. We really need you to express your gift, to be yourself, to be faithful to the call of God upon your life and to what God's doing in you. We really, really need you. And we appreciate you very much. So please carry on doing what you're doing. Rion, did you just want to say what you said about your feeling something else, and then it's John?
Sure, yeah. One of the ways that God gives me words of knowledge is by dates. So it's something I often chase. So if there's someone in the room and the 11th of July is significant to you in any shape or form, the 11th of July can be a birthday, can be anniversary, kids' birthdays, parents' birthdays. I've had a whole bunch of different links to that. 11th of July. Don't confound me afterwards. No, I'm teasing. No one? 11th of July?
Might still happen. Go and sit down. Sometimes it's spoken, the prophetic, isn't it? And sometimes it's it's sung. And John is going to sing a prophetic word.
And I am calling you to draw near. I am calling you to hear. And I am calling you to speak out the sounds that you hear from heaven. I know that you've had disappointments, and I know you've been shut down, but I am calling you to draw near and fly once again. Because I'm calling you to glorify my Son. I'm calling you to take what I give. Take the keys and unlock them. If you do not speak, they will not hear. So I'm calling you to draw near, to hear from my Son, and to speak what you hear.
Lovely. Wow. Lovely. So John didn't know he was going to do that until 5 minutes ago, when I said to him, I think you've got a song to sing over us. So sometimes that's our role, isn't it? To just encourage others and to call out in others. So again, Russ, where have you come?
I'm over here.
Oh, Russ, you want, anything else you want to say before we go?
I know,
I'll do it all. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm sorry, we've got to let you go, really. But thank you so much for coming. We love you and appreciate you.